Good morning. Welcome everyone to Kelvin Christian Reformed Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're glad that you're here with us for worship this morning. Welcome to you with us here. Welcome to friends and family that have joined us today. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. Glad to be able to worship with you as well, even from a distance. I was looking at the announcements this morning, and I don't think that there's really a whole lot pressing that I need to draw your attention to this morning. I guess I will point out that there's a women's breakfast coming up again this week. That's Thursday at 9:30 at Family Table. And otherwise, just look in the bulletin for more announcements, and you'll stay up to date that way. That's really all that I have for announcements, but Caitlin Vischer has an announcement to make, so I'll invite her up, and we'll hear from her.
Let me know, and I can get you on a schedule. But just keep that in mind. It'll be after Pastor does his children's message, then we're kind of thinking of heading the kids downstairs to kind of have their own Bible lesson. So if that's something that you'd be interested in helping me lead, just let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, Caitlin. As we gather this morning, we know that we are here because God has called us, and he calls us to worship him with these words from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Let's join together in singing praise to God. We're going to sing, Lord, our Lord, your glorious name. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Amen.
People of God, God greets us this morning saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is able to empathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God in prayer. Let's join together in our prayer of confession. It's written in the bulletin, or you can follow along up on the screen. Let's pray. Most merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every way, yet did not sin, we confess before you our own sinfulness. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such trust and love that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will through Jesus our Savior. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And so Jesus calls us to follow him. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue to sing God's praises. We'll sing together now with joyful exultation, and let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
As we come before God together in prayer, there are a few things that we should remember together. You'll notice a couple announcements in the bulletin. We want to pray for John and Mary Van Hill after the passing of John's brother-in-law. We also want to give thanks to God that Kim Waddell's cancer treatments have been going well, and we want to continue to pray for healing and progress for her. Finally, we also want to continue to pray for Jerry and Mary's grandson, Jacob. His surgery is coming up pretty soon, and so we just pray that all will go well with that. So let's keep these things and other things in mind together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for your great power, the power that you use to create and run our world. We praise you that you are in control of all things. We praise you for your great persistence in reaching out to us and calling us to believe in and follow Jesus. We thank you that through the work of Jesus who saves us and makes us your own people, that we have the freedom to come before you in prayer, that even though you are so much greater than we are, that you are concerned for us and you come near to us. We give you thanks for the gift of the Bible, for your word to us, to teach us about you and to guide us in our living. We thank you for the way in which you provide for us each day. We thank you for the many conveniences we enjoy that make our lives easier and enable us to do other things. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we long for your peace and your well-being to come and fill our earth. We pray for those who live in other lands that are torn apart by war. We pray that you would bring peace and healing. We pray for those who suffer from crime here in our own nation. We pray that you would give them safety and restoration. We pray that you would provide love and care for those who are marginalized. We pray that you would help us to reach out to those that we maybe would not be so inclined to love on our own. We pray that you would teach us and teach our leaders to live by your standards and not to live by our own. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, we think today of those who have special needs. We pray for Michonne and for Caitlin in their pregnancies. We pray that you would give them health and strength, help their babies to develop well. We pray for Kim Waddell. We thank you for the good news we've received about her cancer treatments. We pray that you would continue to work in her life. We want to pray for John and Mary Van Hill and their family. We pray that you'd give them comfort during their time of grief after the death of John's brother-in-law. We pray for Jerry and Mary's grandson, Jacob, and his upcoming surgery. We pray that you would give him and his family peace, that all things would go well with the procedure, that you would bring a smooth recovery. Lord, we pray for so many others who are worried about their health, that you would help them to know your presence and love. We pray for those who struggle with meeting their daily needs and providing food and paying their bills. We pray that you would provide for them. We pray that you would help us who have much to share what we have. We pray that you would give us strength and provision for our daily work and activities, that you would help us to serve you each day. This week, we pray particularly for those who work in arts and entertainment, who create things and provide so many beautiful things, that you would help them to bring honor and glory to you with their work. Lord, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We pray that you would teach us to follow Jesus' way of forgiveness, that you would help us to show the love and grace to others that you have shown to us. We pray that you would bring repentance and healing to us, where selfishness and dishonesty and betrayal have damaged our relationships. We pray that you would give us a healthy awareness of our own sinfulness and shortcomings, and that would help us then to treat others rightly, to show mercy as we have received mercy. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we pray that you would protect us in all parts of our lives, particularly in our faith in you, that you would protect us from doubts and despair. Help us to grow in our trust in you and to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We pray that you would make your church grow and flourish here in our congregation and community and also throughout the world. We pray that you would frustrate the devil's work, that you would frustrate the wicked schemes of human beings, that you would lead the world to follow your ways more and more. And we pray most of all that our Lord Jesus would return quickly to set all things right, to bring us into the fullness of eternal life with you. We pray all these things to you, Lord our God, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we get to worship God by giving back to Him with our offerings, showing thanks for all that He has provided to us. As we receive our offering this morning, we'll also sing together, "Abide with Me." It's time for our children's message, so any kids that want to come up to the front, please do so now, and we can talk for a little bit. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Quiet. Okay. All right. I'd like to talk a little bit about remembering and forgetting this morning. Have you ever had somebody forget about you? Do you ever maybe need some help with something and you go tell your mom and dad, "I need you to help me," and they say, okay, I need to finish this. And they're working on making dinner or something. And then they get so busy that they forget to come help you. You ever have something like that happen? No, your mom and dad remember you all the time. Your parents are better than mine were, I guess. Your parents are better than I am as a parent. I forget about my kids sometimes. I say, yeah, yeah, I'll help you, and then I forget. And then they yell at me, Dad, you have to come help us. You never have that happen? No? Okay. Do your mom and dad ever set a reminder on their phone? Do you ever hear them say, hey, Siri, tell me to remember this? No? I know that you do. Yeah, I know you do, Lainey, because I hear you say it sometimes when you play, that you've heard mom say it. And sometimes you'll say, hey, Siri, tell me to do this. Sometimes we forget about things. Sometimes we even forget about people, and we need our phone or something to help us remember. But God never forgets. He never forgets about us. He doesn't need to have a cell phone to remind him. He doesn't need to write notes so he'll do things later. God always remembers his people. He always cares about us, and he never forgets us. And so that makes us feel good. That gives us reason to be happy, even when things look bad, that God is never going to forget about us. So we're going to talk about that a little more with our sermon today. Thanks for coming forward, guys. You can go back to your seats now. So we are spending some time in the book of Genesis in our sermons. We are looking at the story of Joseph and his brothers. And where we left off 2 weeks ago, Joseph had been thrown into prison. So we'll pick up this morning with Joseph in prison, and we will see what happens to him there. Before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. So you may feel free to pull out your own Bible and follow along there as we read, or you may follow along with the words up on the screen. We are going to read the whole chapter, Genesis 40. So hear the word of the Lord. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in the prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord. Michelle and Chris had been waiting for God to answer their prayers for a baby. As their waiting stretched on, no one would have blamed the couple for wondering if God had forgotten about them. Michelle and Chris understood that many couples have trouble having a baby, but they saw so many people around them announcing pregnancies and bringing precious newborns home, and sometimes it felt like only they had difficulties. Michelle had become pregnant one time, but that pregnancy had ended with a miscarriage, bringing a whole flood of loneliness and pain. The longer that Chris and Michelle waited and prayed, the more often they seemed forgotten in their ongoing struggle. But the couple clung to their trust in God. And finally, Michelle became pregnant again. Hope sprang up like flowers in the spring. Michelle and Chris scheduled doctor appointments. They started to prepare their house. They decided that they were going to name their baby girl Luca. They praised God for being so good to them. But then, tragedy struck. An ultrasound revealed that Luca's heart had stopped beating. Michelle and Chris held each other in stunned silence for a while. Then Michelle staggered into the restroom, where she fell to her knees and sobbed. "Why, God? Why take my Luca?" It almost felt like God had just forgotten about her and Chris. We too can worry that God has forgotten about us when we go through crises, when we deal with pains and heartaches that don't seem to go away, when we keep making prayer requests that seem to go unanswered. As Christians, we proclaim that God is powerful and loving and good, that he cares for us, that he is always able to help us. God makes promises to his people, promising to be with us and to provide for us. But trusting God and believing those promises don't always come so easily to us. We don't always notice God's presence. We don't always see evidence of his work in and around us. There are times when our lives leave us feeling lost, unhappy, hurt, overwhelmed. Maybe we long for spiritual growth, but we feel like God is distant. Gathering for worship or doing our personal devotions or serving others just makes us feel empty. Or we go through surgery and weeks of painful physical therapy only to still have trouble with our knee. Or we pray and pray and pray for a job as we finish school, watching all of our friends find work while we're left hanging. Some of us might feel forgotten when we endure periods with inadequate housing or an oppressive government or widespread food shortages or just hostility from the people around us. What's often so troubling for us is that God is infinite. He is far beyond our understanding. He acts according to his plans. And that means that God doesn't always act according to our timetables or according to our desires. When we hurt, when we wait, we can doubt that God really loves us, that he can really help us. We just want something that will let us know for sure that we can trust God, that he hasn't forgotten us, that he won't forget us. Joseph seems forgotten in prison in Egypt. Years and years have passed since his envious, hate-filled brothers sold him as a slave to some passing traders. It's also been quite a while since Joseph was falsely accused of assault by his master's wife and thrown into prison. But despite Joseph's innocence, no one has come to release him. Joseph belongs to God's chosen family, but Joseph has probably started to wonder at this point if even God has forgotten about him. Joseph longs for his freedom, but his prayers go unanswered. And his situation seems pretty hopeless. 11 years into Joseph's time in Egypt, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker enrage and offend Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And they land themselves in prison, right with Joseph. Now, unlike Joseph, these officials deserve imprisonment. They've done something wrong. But the cupbearer and the baker, they're not just some lowly servants. They're the people who bring Pharaoh his food and drink. They are regularly in Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh has to trust them enough to be confident that they won't poison him or let him be poisoned. The cupbearer and the baker are the kind of men that Pharaoh would confide in, that he would tell his secrets to. But now, having lost Pharaoh's trust, these men also lose their freedom. The captain of the guard assigns Joseph to look after their needs. After a while, each official has a dream on the same night. And in the morning, they are both very troubled. Joseph can immediately tell that something's wrong. "Why do you look so sad?" he asks. "We both had dreams," the men explain. "We've already been worried about what the future holds for us. Now these puzzling dreams come. Pharaoh has all of these expert dream interpreters, but now that we need dreams interpreted, we don't have access to the experts. We're sure these dreams mean something, but we don't know what. Now, Joseph cares about his fellow prisoners, and despite all his trouble, he has not given up his trust in the Lord his God. Joseph responds, "So? Don't interpretations belong to God? God sees, God knows all things, even what the future holds. He can empower whomever he wants to interpret dreams. Please, tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer goes first. "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. The vine had three branches, and almost at once it budded, blossomed, and ripened its clusters into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took some grapes, and I squeezed them out into Pharaoh's cup. And then I put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just like I used to do when I was the chief cupbearer." "This is what your dream means," Joseph replies. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and return you to your former position. You will bring Pharaoh his wine, just like you did before." And suddenly, at long last, Joseph sees a way out of prison. Very soon, this cupbearer will be back in Pharaoh's presence. This official can make sure that Joseph is no longer forgotten. So Joseph pleads, "When things go well for you, please remember me. Show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh so I can be brought out of this prison. I'm only in Egypt because I was stolen away by force. Even here, I've done nothing to deserve being thrown into this pit." The chief baker sees that Joseph has given a good interpretation for the cupbearer's dream. And so the baker confidently then relates his own dream. "In my dream, I had 3 baskets of bread on top of my head. The top basket contained all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket." Even before Joseph interprets the baker's dream, it's clear that this dream is a little bit different. The cupbearer dreamed that he was successfully carrying out his old work right in Pharaoh's presence. But the baker isn't really active in the midst of his dream. And ominously, the baker never makes it into Pharaoh's presence. "This is what your dream means," Joseph begins. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and lift it off your shoulders. He'll impale your body on a pole, exposing it for the birds to eat your flesh away." After a promisingly familiar beginning, the interpretation of the baker's dream takes a dark turn. The cupbearer and the baker have very different futures ahead of them. 3 days later, Joseph's words prove completely accurate. Pharaoh celebrates his birthday with a feast. During the party, he restores the cupbearer and he executes the baker, just as Joseph said. Now, at long last, Joseph has hope that he'll get out of prison. But the cupbearer doesn't remember Joseph. Instead, he forgets all about Joseph. Joseph has every right to feel forgotten in our story. From his perspective, God may not seem to be doing much of anything at all. But the Bible insists that God is still present with Joseph. And if we look closely, we can see some hints that God is still at work. God remembers Joseph. Joseph boldly declares that God knows the meaning of dreams. So when Joseph correctly interprets these two dreams, it shows that God is with him and empowering him. And these new dreams are a reminder of Joseph's own dreams that he had over a decade ago. Dreams about his family bowing down before him. Since God fulfilled the interpretation of Pharaoh's officials' dreams, Joseph still has reason to trust that God remembers him, that God will eventually fulfill his two dreams. Joseph's experience of longing and pleading for help mirrors the experience of God's people in Egypt a few centuries later. The descendants of Joseph and all of his brothers become slaves in Egypt. They cry out for deliverance. Both Joseph and the Israelites are left having to rely on God alone. But the book of Genesis and the Bible as a whole present the Lord again and again as a God who remembers his people. The Lord's relationship with his people is always active. The Lord might not always act according to human timetables, but he never forgets his chosen ones. As disappointing as Joseph's story is at this point, it's not over yet. Human beings may fail to remember, and God's people may feel forgotten, but God promises that he won't forget those he loves. We can be sure that God won't forget those he loves because of Christ Jesus. Jesus came as the fulfiller of all of God's promises, as the Savior and Redeemer of God's people. Christ came and shared in our pain and suffering. He cared for those who were hurting, sick, marginalized. He proved his love for us by dying for our sins, by breaking the power of death and evil with his resurrection. Christ gives forgiveness and new life to all his people, even though we don't deserve it. He has ascended to reign over all things, so we don't ever need to fear being forgotten, because the King is our Savior. In Jesus, God has remembered his people. We don't just have promises to believe. We have real, historical, completed acts. And plus, even though God never forgets his people, even though he doesn't need to tie some sort of string around his finger, Jesus' bodily presence in heaven acts like a continual reminder for God. Right now, Jesus is in heaven. He still bears the wounds of his death. His body exudes the victorious life of his resurrection, a constant testimony to God's love for his people. Jesus assures us that God always remembers his people, and Christ will one day return to complete our salvation, raising and transforming his people for eternal life with him. Now, some of our hurts won't be healed. Some of our feelings of emptiness may not seem filled on this side of Christ's return. Like Joseph, there may be times where we wonder and struggle for a while. However, Jesus' past saving work assures us that he won't forget us. Even when we wait for answers to our prayers, even when we deal with lingering hurts, we can hopefully and faithfully anticipate the future that Christ guarantees for us. And as we wait with hope, God also proves that he remembers us again and again, sometimes in subtle, sometimes in more obvious ways. Because God remembers us, he answers so many of our prayers for things like work and successful surgeries. God gives us strength to embrace our limitations, at times to push through the pain we feel. God provides good days where we feel healthy. He often provides extra money we need for food or rent. God uses other Christians to check in on us and journey with us, showing us that we are not forgotten. And God did not forget about Michelle and Chris. In the midst of their agony over the loss of their unborn daughter, God gave them both the strength they needed to keep trusting him. God's Spirit helped Chris and Michelle believe that God remembered them, that he wasn't finished with them yet. That didn't mean that there wasn't pain ahead. Michelle still had to deliver her dead yet unborn baby. But the nurse that walked her through this was a Christian, and friends from church came to cry and pray with the couple, showing that they weren't alone or forgotten. Michelle says that these others were like rays of God's light, like bolts of joy sent to give us the certainty that he was close, that he was in control. After Michelle left the hospital, she and Chris had a funeral for Luca. Michelle says that God still remembered them. In the weeks that followed, there were no shortage of God's mercies. Friends stayed, people prayed, and all sorts of meals were delivered. We were brokenhearted, and yet we were lifted higher than before. When Chris one day went to dismantle the crib, God gave Michelle confidence that Chris would have to reassemble it one day. And sure enough, exactly 1 year after Luca's death, Michelle gave birth to a son they named Luke. God didn't answer every single one of their questions. He didn't wipe away all their pain immediately. But God remembered Michelle and Chris. God answered their prayers. God comforted them. God was with them the whole journey through. Brothers and sisters, even in our pain and waiting, God never forgets his people. Jesus proves God's love and care for us. God remembers his people now and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, help us to trust that you never forget your people. Give us confidence during times of pain and waiting that you remember us and love us. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to fulfill your promises and prove your concern for us. Remind us again and again of his life and death and resurrection and reign on our behalf. Show us signs of your faithful presence and work in and around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Having heard God's word, let's proclaim together what we believe. We'll use the words of "Our World Belongs to God," stanza 56, Please join in the reading. It'll be up on the screen or it's printed inside the bulletin. We long for that day when our bodies are raised. The Lord wipes away our tears and we dwell forever in the presence of God. We will take our place in the new creation, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, and the Lord will be our light. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's continue to respond to God's word by singing together, Be Thou My Vision. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of our time of worship, Jesus sends us forth to live for him. God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Know that as we go, God sends us his blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.